Support for this podcast comes from Is Business Broken, a podcast from Questrom School of Business. Stick around until the end of this podcast for a preview of the first episode, a conversation with Dean Susan Fournier, where she answers the question at the heart of the show.
From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and this is On Point. For nearly 50 years, Los Lobos has been mixing and matching genres, rock, R&B, Mexican folk, and now Christmas songs. In their latest album, they scoured the Latin American Christmas Carol catalog, songs from Colombia to Texas to their hometown, East L.A. It's called Llegó Navidad, or Christmas is Here.
Mamacita, ¿dónde está Santa Claus? ¿Dónde está Santa Claus? And the toys that he will leave. Mamacita,
this hour on Point, celebrating Christmas with Los Lobos. And you can join us. Latin American listeners, how are the holidays, and Christmas in particular, if you celebrate it, how do you mark them in your home? And do you have a favorite Latin American Christmas carol? What's your question for Los Lobos? Call us. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Also, anytime online at onpointradio.org or Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Now, Los Lobos has been performing for almost 50 years. They're a multi-Grammy award-winning group, and their latest album is called Llegó Navidad. We're privileged to have two members of Los Lobos with us today in the studio. David Hidalgo is a founding member of the band. He's a songwriter and multi-talented musician. He sings and plays a myriad of instruments, including guitar, banjo, cello, and the accordion. David Hidalgo, welcome back to On Point.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having us.
It's great to have you. And Steve Berlin, while not a founding member, he joined Los Lobos in 1984, and his many instruments include saxophone, flute, and keyboard. He's also a terrific producer. Steve Berlin, welcome to you.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so first of all, tell us, Christmas songs. Why was this sort of the genre of music that you thought, Los Lobos has yet to do that? Let's take on Christmas.
Well, it's an idea that's been, every year it comes up, you know. One of these years, we should do a Christmas album, you know. And this time around, the concept of doing a Latin American Christmas seemed to make it, you know, it made sense, so we tried it out.
Yeah, I mean, look, I'll be honest. I love Christmas music, and many of Americans. Most people don't, you said?
Yeah.
Well, I think that's partially because it comes earlier and earlier every year.
Well, but I think it's just you just get bombarded with it.
And, yeah.
You know.
But on the other hand, many of America's greatest musicians have done fantastic Christmas albums.
Yeah,
so it makes perfect sense to me. But how did you go about sort of picking and choosing from the Latin American catalog of Christmas songs?
We reached out to some friends who are collectors, not necessarily of Christmas music, but guys who we thought would have a repository of ideas. And we managed to acquire about 140 some songs no sorting whatsoever, just like this pile of songs to start the process. I think, you know, we just needed to start someplace. You know, it's not like we had a stockpile ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And basically that just kind of opened the door. You know, we kind of sorted through, you know, some of that stuff was, there's no way in the world we could do it. But it sort of informed the process. And, you know, once we got rolling, it was kind of like any other Los Lobos record where, you know, two or three songs in, somebody brings in an idea, and then we chase that around, and that brings up another idea. So it was fun. It was different in many respects, but in many respects it was the same as any other record that we did.
So that track that we just heard at the top of the show, ¿Dónde está Santa Claus? Tell us about that one.
It's his name is Augie.
Augie Rios.
Augie Rios, yeah. He was a child actor back in the late 50s, and he had this one-off hit. And that's the only familiar one that I remember, you know, of all these songs that we did. Well, that one and Reluciente Sol, I'd heard that one before too, but most of them, you know, we just kept looking till we found stuff that we thought we could do.
Yeah. You know? So 1958, I think that's where in my notes here, where Augie Rios performed Don't Dance to Santa Claus. He was 12. So you say you remember that from your childhood?
Yeah. Well, you know, when you'd be in the, like when it comes Christmas season and you'd be driving around shopping and have the station that plays the Christmas music, that would come up. That was part of the rotation, you know.
Well, let's hear another track from Llegó Navidad. This is La Rama.
Naranjas y limas, limas y limones, más linda es la Virgen que todas las flores. Naranjas y limas, limas y limones, más linda es la Virgen que todas las flores.
Ya llegó la rama y sus cantadores, vienen a esta casa un ramo de flores.
Naranjas y limas, limas y limones, más linda es la Virgen que todas las flores.
Desde Veracruz andando y el Señor Jesús venimos buscando.
Naranjas y limas, limas y limones, más linda es la Virgen que todas las flores.
That's La Rama from Llegó Navidad, the latest album from Los Lobos. Now, this is a La Rama. It comes from the Mexican tradition, is that
yes.
right?
Yes.
Yeah. Tell us about it.
Well, it's a music. They call it música jarocha. Is from Veracruz area. And that's part of that tradition, and it's and most of it's like the Mexican Christmas songs, a lot of them were religious, and so this is, you know, speaking about the Virgen de Guadalupe there wasn't a lot of really fun songs, you know, for Mexico, because the last one they were pretty serious and pretty, you know, for church-like. I mean, they're reverent. You know,
yeah.
So we had to search elsewhere. But that's one of them that had some fun to it.
And so, if I have this right, it's a custom where people decorate branches. But that's the Las Ramas. Is that it? And they carry them in a procession through their neighborhoods. Now, you said that you... is the song originally from the Veracruz region, or did you decide to perform it in the style of music?
No, that's the style that we found. That's the one we found a Jarocho version of it.
Okay. So tell us more about this folk style of music. I mean, is it fun to play?
Yeah, it's hard, too.
What makes it hard?
It's, it's like, I guess if you compare it to anything, it would be like the bluegrass of Mexico. You know? I mean, it's the harp, these small requintos, the four-string guitar sort of instrument, and there's a rhythm instrument called a carana. Those are the basic instruments, but it's usually pretty fast, and it's in, you know, it's improvised and improvised verses and stuff. You know, it's a challenge, but it's beautiful. You know,
I want to be
it's a great
honest,
tradition.
David. I think you guys are such terrific musicians. It's hard to believe that anything would actually be a challenge.
It's hard.
It is.
It's no joke.
Steve, go ahead. I mean,
that style. It's the instrument that Dave plays is Requinto Jarocho. He plays it with basically like a ducktail comb turned on the pointy side. It's just a workout.
So explain that more to me.
How would you describe it?
Well, they use a sliver of a cow horn to begin, and that was the pick, you know.
It's
just the plectrum. But over the years, well, they still do use them too, but you get a nylon barber comb and shave it down and to the shape of a, and you play with that. So it has that percussive thing to it. But you have to apply yourself to play it.
Okay.
It's not, you can't take it easy and... Not with that kind of music, it's a challenge too, because you're improvising, so you're playing against a harp player or you know, so you're. It's fun, you know. You're on your toes, you know.
Yeah. Well, we are talking this hour with Los Lobos and their latest album, which is Llegó Navidad, their first Christmas album. We're at 800-423-8255. Let's just quickly go to Elisa, who's calling from Detroit, Michigan. Elisa, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Hi. Great, Elisa, go ahead.
Okay, so I was just saying I'm really excited to hear this Christmas album arrive this year. I'm hosting my first tamalada at my house for my friends and family.
Right.
And I'm 41, so I was a little kid when the La Bamba soundtrack came out. And for those of us who were, like, not in Texas, not in California, not even in Chicago, to hear the La Bamba soundtrack and to see, like, our parents and grandparents be so proud was really, really formational. And I'm sorry, I'm really emotional about this. So to have this album arrive after all this time and to be re-engaging with these traditions that were stripped of us through assimilation or in some cases repatriation. And so those of us who are, you know, really far from the patria is just phenomenal. It's phenomenal. It's more than I can even explain. And it's way more than, like, you go Santa Claus.
Elisa, wait, hang on for a second. So you said you're hosting your first tamalada? Did I hear that right?
Yeah.
What is that?
It's a lot of work. it's a lot of work. It's a tamale making party, I guess. So yeah, I've been like roasting pork shoulder for like 2 weeks, and I've roasted like 5 chickens, and I have 40 pounds of masa coming on Saturday morning.
Can we come?
Yeah.
Like, what's your address?
Where's our invitation?
We're off after tonight.
I would lose my mind. If most mobiles turned up at my house, I would probably just like melt into a puddle. And I'd be like, well, there was Elisa. She lived a good life.
Well, Elisa, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For your call. That's Elisa calling us from Detroit, Michigan. We are talking this hour with two members of Los Lobos. Their latest album, it's a Christmas album. It's called Llegó Navidad. And we want to hear from you, from the Latino community out there listening. How do you mark this season? What does Los Lobos' music mean to you? And do you have a favorite Latin American Christmas song? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. We'll head into the break with the title track from the album. This is Llegó Navidad. This is On Point.
Support for the On Point podcast comes from Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform that lets you find candidates fast. Ditch the busy work and use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/onpoint. That's Indeed.com/onpoint. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Support for this podcast comes from Is Business Broken?, a podcast from Questrom School of Business. These days, it's hard to ignore the debate over the role business should play in society.
There's crescendo around profit, period. Is profit bad? Is capitalism evil? These themes are out there.
Is this criticism of business warranted? And if so, how do we fix it? Stick around until the end of this podcast for a preview of the first episode of the Is Business Broken podcast.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and that, of course, is La Bamba from Los Lobos back in 1987. We've got two members of Los Lobos with us today to talk about their new album, Llegó Navidad. It's their first Christmas album. David Hidalgo joins us, and so does Steve Berlin as well. And if you've got a question for Los Lobos, call us at 1-800-423-8255. And Steve, let me just ask you, we had to sneak this one in here, even though we're talking about Llegó Navidad. What do you think it is about how Los Lobos did La Bamba that gives this song such staying power? I mean, I'm looking across the glass at the control room, and people are still rocking out decades after the song first came out?
You know, I would attribute it mostly to the magic of music. You know, sometimes it just, a thing just captures people's imagination in a way that can only be described as magical. And it's why we do it, I think. You know, every once in a while you sort of achieve this moment of like, it's indefinable. But I had a friend back then who was a real legendary producer, a guy named Paul Rothchild, who did the Doors records, among many other records. And after it was a hit, he had this thing, like, he was a very analytical guy. Like, he kind of like analyzed, it wasn't just like, you know, magic to him.
Yeah.
And he had this theory, which he proved, that those chord changes were a top 10, if not number one hit every 18 months. So every 18 months, that he went back in time, and like, sure enough, it was like, you know, almost clockwork. That you know, it's very simple. It's 1-4-5. It's a very simple chord changes, but every, you know, 18 months, sure enough, it was a hit. So we caught that wave right on time.
Yeah. Well, just if we're still on that cycle, maybe we're getting close to another.
Yeah, could be
another 18 month moment.
Yeah. Hank Williams also said, you know, if you write a song that's simple enough for anybody to play, it'll be a hit, you know. So he knew what he was talking about.
Well, let's go to Carl, who's calling from Tampa, Florida. Carl, you're on the air.
Thank you. How are you?
Good.
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Listen, I just wanted to let you know, I love your music. I've listened to you for many years. My ex-wife, and you probably know her because she's a groupie of yours. she followed you guys around San Antonio repeatedly to every venue you went to, and she loved your music so much, she turned me on to it, and I've been listening. And, you know, I wish I'd heard more of you in your earlier days, but I love that you're coming out with new music. I'm planning on getting it, and I just wanted to say thank you very much for the entertainment. And if you see my ex-wife and her new husband, you will know them by Liz and Richard.
Okay. Okay, all right.
That narrows it down.
Yeah.
Carl, thank you,
thank you so
much for your call. David and Steve, let me just turn back to the sort of founding songs, that catalog of 140 Latin American Christmas songs that you had to choose from. Can you tell us a little bit more? I mean, obviously Latin American is a huge, a huge grouping here. I mean, we were talking about Mexican, Central, South American songs from all over the hemisphere.
Yeah, everywhere. One thing that we learned is that Puerto Ricans love Christmas. So there's, on balance, there was 60%, maybe more, were Puerto Rican songs, which are fantastic. It was a lot of amazing, like, a lot of salsa stars had not one, not two, but sometimes three Christmas records over the course of their careers. I know, it's insane. So that, you know, once we sort of had this group, you know, this large group of songs, we, you know, it wasn't one thing, you know, obviously we're not a salsa band, so we had to kind of pick the ones that made the most sense, the ones that we could actually address in our own style. So that kind of removed many, many, many songs from the rest of the list once we picked them. And then I think it was really just a matter mostly of just balancing, you know, the vibe, like trying to get things out. You know, there were a lot of minor key stuff that we really liked, but we couldn't make the record all minor key. So, and then balancing the singers and sort of the instrumentation. So it wasn't, we kind of wanted to be a broad spectrum of sonic sounds and mm-hmm. colors.
Mm-hmm. David, did you want to add to that?
Well, like you said about the Puerto Rican, that's I love stringed instruments, and they have there's the guitar, the instrument that's called a cuatro from Puerto Rico, and I tried to play it, that instrument's a big part of the Navideña or the Christmas tradition. So I was kind of familiar with the style, but there's over the years, like he said, salsa artists have done records. Hector Lavoe, Gran Combo, Willie Colon, people like that. You know, so we listen to those records, and It was a good way in.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Well, so there is one track on the album that was actually composed by you specifically for the album, right? I'm thinking about Christmas and You. So let's just listen to a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Darling, I'm thinking of you. I wonder if you still miss me. Oh, on this Christmas day.
That's Christmas and You from Los Lobos' new album, Llegó Navidad. Now, David, you and bandmate Luis Perez wrote this song specifically for the album. Tell us about it.
Well, we were talking about it, you know, years ago. I went to see Chris Isaak do a Christmas show, and talked to him afterward. He asked me, "Have you written a Christmas song?" He says, "All you need is one." And I thought that was a great idea. You know, so Louis and I started talking about it, and you know, he came back with the lyrics, and we put it together, and it worked out all right.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Let's go to Rob, who's calling from Sandstone, Minnesota. Rob, you're on the air.
Hi, David. Hi, Steve.
How are you?
Happy holidays.
Hey, thank you. I know that voice.
You know, I worked with these guys early on, and I think one of the secrets was the band chemistry, and a big part was the family. It felt like family, and have some of the great fond memories and great experience at that time. So just want to say hi, guys.
Nice to hear from you.
Great.
Rob, who are you? These guys have glowing faces of recognition, but who are you?
I used to be the guitar roadie or tech.
We had a lot of fun, man. How you been, man?
Yeah, very good. Really, I'm just working on some Christmas show stuff myself, but
nice.
I still do Tour Down, Farmer John, and La Bamba.
All right. Okay. Cool, man.
You guys were great players. Really appreciate your whole thing.
Great. Thanks, man.
Thank you, man.
Nice to hear from you.
Well, Rob, thank you so much for your call. Let's go to Adiel, who's calling from Baltimore, Maryland. Adiel, you're on the air.
Hi, how you doing? Adiel there. I just want my question to Los Lobos. First of all, thank you so much for being a part of my life growing up as a Mexican-American Chicano in the United States. And I'm really happy that you guys are still playing music even today. My question to you guys was, in the early times when you guys were playing music, was it a lot hard for you guys to get recognized as a rock band, or were you guys always throwing that label as a Latino band?
Well, we started off the first 9-10 years was most all folk music. We were studying, basically, we were trying to learn the stuff and all the regional styles, and as time went on, at that point, we were able to somehow squeeze our way into the mainstream, you know, as time went on, we got into the Tex-Mex or the conjunto music, and then that led to rock and roll again. We've been lucky, you know, that people have accepted us along the way.
Mm. Well, I want to bring in Adiel, by the way, thank you so much for your call from Baltimore. I want to bring in another voice into this conversation, but in order to do that, let's listen to a little bit of music first, because this is a track called Mi Ranchito. It's from the first Los Super 7 supergroup, featuring Los Lobos and Rick Trevino, who we're about to hear from. So let's listen to Mi Ranchito.
Corazón que te vas para nunca volver, no me digas adiós, vuelve a alegrar con tu amor el ranchito que fue de mi vida ilusión.
That's Mi Ranchito from the 1998 album Los Super 7. And you hear Los Lobos there. And you also hear Rick Trevino, who joins us today from Austin, Texas. Rick's a Grammy Award-winning Mexican-American country music artist, a third-generation Texan born on the banks of Houston's Buffalo Bayou. His 1993 debut single, Just Enough Rope, was the first mainstream country music single to feature separate English and Spanish language versions. Rick Trevino, welcome to On Point.
Oh, great to be here. Hello, brothers.
Hey, what's up, homie?
And you know, Rick, I have to apologize. I have been mispronouncing your last name. It's Rick Trevino, and I do apologize for that. I'm gonna get it right here. So, what do you think of Los Lobos' first Christmas album?
Oh, I love it. I love the. I guess my favorite is probably the kind of the Colombian vibe. Llegó Navidad. I love that one. I love the vibe of it. But everything's great. And congratulations, guys. It's a beautiful record.
Thank you, Rick.
Well, so talk to us for a minute, Rick, about your family's Christmas traditions.
Well, growing up, you know, we would growing up in Austin, we would go back to Houston every year and visit my relatives, tios and tias, and you know, it was just a big party. And then now with my own family, it's kind of the same thing. We kind of go overboard here at my house. We got about 6 inflatables, like 7 or 8 inflatables outside in the yard, and it looks pretty obnoxious, but we love it. And it's just everything's lit up, and we got Christmas lights, Christmas presents, and we've actually had our Christmas trees in the house up since before Thanksgiving. And so yeah, we kind of go a little bit overboard, and I do. For the past 30 years, I've done Christmas Eve services at my church, and one of the traditions is that, you know, we do about 7 services in one day, and on Christmas Eve. So when I get home, I'm pretty tired, and Carla always has. We have a lady that makes tamales, so she always has the tamales ready to go with some fried eggs on top and some salsa.
Now you're talking, that's man. Not,
yeah.
Hey, we're gonna go we're going to Detroit, then Austin, then.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's what I look forward to at the end of this. Of course, the services have always, you know, been something I look forward to every year, but it's nice to get home and hang out with the family.
Yeah.
Well, David and Steve, tell us about what it's been like making music with Rick, because I think you also have a forthcoming album, Rick, do you have something else you have coming? Are you performing with Los Lobos sometime again next year?
We have different versions, you know,
okay.
Like this Sunday, where I'm going to be at the Kessler with Max Baca and Tex Maniacs, and we,
right.
You know, fortunately, if once or twice a year, I get to see, you know, Dave and Steve, some of the guys. If we're not seeing each other passing through the airports, like we've seen each other a few times going from gig to gig, but we get to play together a couple times a year, and I think we've got probably something coming up in the spring.
Cool.
But
yeah.
You know, I just a quick some props, you know, I met Dave and Caesar and Steve, I guess around 98, and you know, they were just so gracious to open the door to their kind of musical world. For me, I kind of felt like in some aspects I was a little, you know, nervous going into the first Super 7 record, because I was kind of coming from, you know, country music, 90s straight ahead country music, and I was a little bit tentative going into it. But you know, the guys, the Los Lobos guys and all the Super 7 members just kind of opened the doors for me, welcomed me with open arms, patient with me as I was kind of learning as I was going. So you know,
that was a great time, man. That album was special. I mean, everybody that was a part of it was you know, we all got along, we had a lot of fun doing it, you know. And thank you brother for being there.
Yeah.
And I've always considered the guys you guys as my friends, and but I've also always considered you guys mentors for me, and I've always kind of felt that kind of role every time I'm with you guys. I'm always learning, and I remember the first time that I heard Dave play a country tune during a sound check at the House of Blues. I think it was a Lefty Frizzell song. I think it was "I'll Never Go Around Mirrors," and I was like, man, that, you know, that was a pretty eye opening moment for me. here's David Hidalgo doing a Lefty Frizzell Merle Haggard tune. So it was pretty awesome.
All right.
Well, Rick Trevino, Grammy Award-winning Mexican-American country music artist and a third-generation Texan who has performed with Los Lobos as part of the Latin American supergroup Los Super 7. Rick, thank you so much for taking a couple of minutes to be with us today.
Yeah, man.
Thank you, man.
Thanks for having me. I'll be safe on the road, guys.
Thank you, man. Merry Christmas.
All right, well, we've got to take a quick break here, and when we come back, we'll hear from a lot more callers. We're talking this hour with two members of the band Los Lobos. Their latest album is called Llegó Navidad. It's their first Christmas album, and it draws deeply from the catalog of Latin American Christmas tunes. This is It's Christmas Time in Texas. We'll be right back. This is On Point.
A gruesome scandal at the nation's most prestigious university shines a light on a macabre and lucrative world of buying and selling human remains.
Human body parts taken by a manager at the Harvard Medical School morgue and then sold to customers online.
So my first skull is right there on the top shelf. That's my first and my favorite.
I'm reporter Allie Jarmani, and this story raises some tough questions. How should we treat the dead? And who gets to decide?
There should be some middle ground where we treat deceased tissues differently than we treat old refrigerators.
This is Postmortem, The Stolen Bodies of Harvard, a new season of WBUR's Last Scene. Listen and follow Last Scene wherever you get your podcasts.
Vamos a bailar la murga. Muchachos se alborotan cuando la ven caminar.
Vamos a bailar la murga de Panamá. Esa es una cosa fácil y muy buena para bailar.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and you're listening to La Murga from Los Lobos' latest album. It's called Llegó Navidad. It's their first Christmas album, and I'm joined today in the studio by David Hidalgo and Steve Berlin, two members of Los Lobos. And if you've got a question for Los Lobos, call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And we want to also hear from our Latin American listeners how you're celebrating the holidays and whether some of the tunes that you've been hearing on Los Lobos' new album, this Christmas album, might be ones that you're familiar with from your family's traditions. Again, we're at 800-423-8255. So David and Steve, tell us about this track, about La Murga. What is it?
It's a song. It's from Panama. And it was on there was an album with Hector Lavoe, Yomo Toro, and Daniel Santos, and Willie Colon. And it's I'm not sure if it's a Christmas song, but we it was on a Christmas album, so we figured, you know, close enough. You know.
I think it might be like a Carnival song.
Yeah.
Okay. That's seasonal, winter season, though.
It's about celebrating. So, yeah.
Yeah, Steve, did you want to tell us more about the song?
I think Dave covered it. You know, yeah. So we were concerned for a moment that it might not be germane, but kind of worked it out.
All right. Well, let's go to Genev from Portland, Maine. You're on the air, and how do you say your name?
Hi, Genevieve.
Genevieve. Okay, Genevieve. I'm so sorry about that. Today's not my day with pronunciations, and forgive me. But go ahead. You're on
you're
the
being
air.
Challenged.
You're on
you're
the
being
air.
Challenged.
Well, look, my name's Meghna Chakrabarty. You think I should get the names right, okay? But you're on the air with Los Lobos, Genevieve.
Hello. This is such a tremendous honor. Let me tell you, my parents are from Mexico and Cuba. My mother was actually born in El Paso. And I lived in Austin for 20 years, and I cannot give you enough gratitude for who you are and who you've been for all of us. I love that you chose to do this, because bringing this particular kind of joy and the desire to dance into a family holiday, I think, is an extraordinarily beautiful thing to contribute.
Thank you.
My favorite Christmas song, though, is actually from Brazil, and it's a traditional northeastern song called Borboleta. I sang Brazilian music for about 15 years. Mm. It was popularized by Marisa Monchi. It's about a butterfly, and it's for children. And I love that you're singing to a butterfly on Christmas Eve, and that it's a traditional song.
Where were you when we needed you?
Yeah, we missed Brazil.
It's a lovely, precious song. And I just wondered if you had given any consideration to any Brazilian traditional music.
Well, I mean, we would have, but we didn't find any, you know.
Next album.
It would have been cool. Okay. Yeah, no.
I'll sing back up.
All right. Sounds good.
Wait, Genevieve, before you go, so in Borboleta, you're singing to the butterfly on Christmas Eve? What is the song? What's in the song?
Little butterfly comes out of the rose garden. Little butterfly, so blue, so beautiful. Today is Christmas Eve. And then it starts singing as the butterfly. I'm just a little butterfly flying around seeking someone who would love me.
That's cool. Yeah.
Lovely. Well, Genevieve, thank you so much for your call and for that that hat tip to Brazilian Christmas music as well. Let's go to Betsy, who's calling from St. Thomas in the U.S. Virgin Islands. Betsy, you're on the air.
Hello. Hi. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
One of my favorites. It's not Latin, but we don't have snow here, of course. Mm. It goes, ho, 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 how will Santa get here? There are no reindeer in my country. He'll have to borrow my neighbor's donkey. So.
All right.
And we have so many traditions, and we have a lot of Latin music here, too. So
in the Caribbean. Well, Betsy, yes. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
thank you so much for that call. I mean, this is going to come up over and over again, David and Steve, because, I mean, we're talking about an entire hemisphere of music here. Were there any songs, Caribbean-inflected songs, in that 146?
Well, I mean, the stuff from Colombia, it's right on the right there. Puerto Rico, Panama.
I think there was one calypso, but I don't think we could have pulled that off.
Yeah.
Why not?
That's outside of our purview, I'm afraid. You know, that's a world unto itself. You know, we know we can and we can't do it. I think that one would have been a step over the line, perhaps.
How interesting, because I always think of Los Lobos as a band that, like, if you want to, you could.
It would take some doing. I mean, that was, you know, one of the other things in making this record was we had a very, like, the time frame was very compressed. Like, we started in May, and we had 6 weeks to complete it while we were touring the entire time as well. So some of the songs on that big list were awesome, but they would have taken a lot of time. So we sort of, I wouldn't say we dumbed it down, but we, you know, there was things that we could accomplish in a relatively short period of time, and certainly pulling off an authentic calypso might have been, I could have spent a week on that and fallen short. So.
Well, we are talking this hour with Los Lobos about their Christmas album, Llegó Navidad. Let's just take for a moment a step back in time a little bit, because I want to hear from the 1984 album, How Will the Wolf Survive? And here is Will the Wolf Survive?
Running.
That's Will the Wolf Survive from 1984. Now, you guys are you smiling and kind of shaking your heads here, nodding. What? Why?
It was a different time.
Why?
Just some of the choices that we made. Just funny to hear it again.
Just like Tom Waits said, you see an old picture of yourself where your ears look too big, or you have a funny haircut or something. It's kind of, something like that.
So tell me about what you think about the choices that you made for this track.
It's a drum machine for one thing, which is kind of nutty.
That's the biggest thing because that's when that technology made its way into pop music.
It's so obviously a drum machine. It's like the cymbal sound is just like the most inauthentic. You know, drum machine. They've never gotten cymbal sounds right ever. There's never been a good. To the extent that now, like, people are kind of in love with the sound of machine cymbals. You know, it's all over, like, hip-hop music, for instance. But to me, I just remembered that it was
the Lindrum.
It was a Lindrum, and, you know, it was all about, like, trying to get, like, new sounds. I remember going to Burbank and trying to get, like, a different kick drum sound from, you know, they had to burn an EEPROM, you know, back in the early days of digital technology. Anyway, it's just funny to hear. You know, that we made the choice to use a drum machine instead of, you know, Dave's one of the best drummers on earth. You know, we had a panoply of drummers to pick from, but we chose this stupid machine.
That's a good point, given the talent that you have.
I know.
Right?
I know.
To choose the machine. But then again, it was the 80s. It was the
80s. Everything had to be in sync with it. You know, it was like, it was a new technology that was taking over. So we went with it.
So you played with the shiny new toy.
Yeah.
And then we abandoned it. Like, I think, you know, it was one, that was the only song on the whole record, right?
I think so.
That was the only one. I was like, you know, hell with that. We're not going to do that.
Oh, my God. We picked the one. Okay.
We're still proud of it. It's a good song. It's just funny choices.
Well, let's go back to the phone. Let's go to Roy, who's calling from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Roy, you're on the air.
Hi. And as each of your talkers have said, I'm truly honored. I was at a small club called Musicians Exchange 30 years ago, listening to Junior Wells and Buddy Guy, and all of a sudden, Los Lobos comes up and does an impromptu from the Dade County Youth Fair. You all were playing at the Youth Fair in Miami, and late at night, you show up on stage at this small Musicians Exchange, and I've been a fan ever since. Living in Fort Lauderdale, the Latin flavor, you all flow. My question is, how did you find each other? You seem to work so well together. I find it hard to listen to your music and not be able to move my feet, tap my fingers, and I'm just always curious. How did you collectively come together and say, this is it?
Mm. Well, it was, we all went to high school together. We all met at high school. So that was, and back then on the east side, Los Angeles, it was, all over LA, there was a lot of young people playing music and a lot of bands, you know, everywhere. And so we kind of knew. Well, Caesar and I went to school together in junior high school, and I knew Louis from art class, and then Conrad, he was a little older than the rest of us, but he was already an established musician in the area. Everybody knew who he was, and so it just took a little time. That's all I got. I don't know. I guess being in the same school, you know, seeing everybody every day, we become friends, and then you talk about music, and that leads to one thing leads to another, and, you know, we're still here.
And Steve, when you got pulled in?
Yeah, I showed up later. I didn't go to school with him.
No. Yeah. But when you showed up, I mean, to Roy's same question, like, how did you know this was it?
Well, you know, the funny thing about, the way I sort of showed up, I mean, they had, I was playing with a group called the Blasters, and Los Lobos opened up for the Blasters in 1980, 79, I'm not sure.
Yeah, 81, I think.
And it was, at that point in the LA music scene, the band that had been together the longest, might have been 3 years, I don't know, the Weirdos, a lot of the bands, even the Blasters, hadn't been together that long. And Los Lobos shows up, and they've been together, playing together for the better part of 7 years. And there was a palpable difference in the strength of the music and the strength of their commitment to each other that no other band in the scene had, which was, was surprising. I know it's surprising to me. And then as I got to know them, I sort of understood that, you know, they had sort of formed this bond and this culture while all of the, you know, everybody else that I knew was just sort of still trying to figure out who they were. And these guys had already, they had started families. They were, you know, in many respects, like further, certainly more grown up than anybody else I was hanging out with at the time. And that made a big difference, too.
Well, Roy, thank you so much for your call. Let's go to Jeff, who's calling from Watertown, Massachusetts. Jeff, you're on the air.
Hello, gentlemen. I saw you last night, and you cooked. It is an honor to speak with you.
Thank you, man.
Thanks.
Do you have a question?
And I wanted to ask you very quickly, can you tell when you're cooking on stage? Does the audience always give it back to you? Because last night, Louis seemed to be asking us, where are you? And the answer was, we were blown away. So can you feel that? Do you know when you're on?
I think so. You go for it sometimes. We try to go for it every night. We try to, you know, do the best we can. Or go somewhere different, at least. You know, we never do the same set night to night. So, yeah, we can tell. When you guys are with us, you allow us to goof around more, you know. You know, and you go with, you take us there. We take each other to wherever we end up, and it's a good thing. We appreciate it.
Well, Los Lobos has been together now for, what, verging on 50 years?
46 years.
What's been the secret to staying together for that long?
Well, we don't know, actually, you know, just
not asking that question.
Yeah.
We give each other a lot of space, you know. We don't like, you know, we understand who we are at this point, so everybody gets to be who they are, you know. No one's forced to conform, you know. We have no dress code, clearly, or anything else. So I think part of it is just understanding each other. And then, you know, like nights like last night where, you know, you have a really good show, and then whatever, you know, if there's any like interpersonal oddness, it just kind of gets washed away by the next night's show. So it's hard to answer, but in some respects, you know, this is what we do, you know. Yeah. We're just, you know, this is our job.
Well, we're going to wrap up today's hour with one more song from Llegó Navidad, and we're going to go out with Feliz Navidad. You kind of had to put it on the album, right?
That's why it was last.
and it's a song that's been done so many times and is so iconic. Was it fun or kind of a challenge to make it into a Los Lobos song?
No, we made it fun. We tried a few approaches, and then it just turned out that a gang vocal was the way to go. You know,
we had like 30 people in the studio singing the chorus. So, and then we were, I don't know, is it on the video? There's a video. We're actually walking around in a circle.
Yeah.
We have a mic in the middle, so we're walking around the circle. So, try to make it sound like a bigger chorus than it is.
Well, Jubilation with Los Lobos and Feliz Navidad. David Hidalgo and Steve Berlin, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having us.
That's fun.
And again, the new Christmas album is called Llegó Navidad. We're going to go out with Feliz Navidad. Happy holidays, everyone. I'm Agnes Chakrabarty. This is On Point.
Feliz Navidad, prospero año y felicidad.
Support for this podcast comes from Is Business Broken, a podcast from Questrom School of Business. Listen on for a preview of one of the episodes featuring Susan Fournier, Alan Questrom Professor, and Dean.
So let's start this conversation with the title of the show, Is Business Broken? It's a provocative title and a question. Where did this come from? Why that question now?
We're in a big cultural moment where capitalism, business, market systems are really being scrutinized and debated, and the role of business with it. So I think the question is just on the table. It's on people's minds. It's in the news media. It's in conversations. I think there are growing voices, loud voices, especially among young people who seem increasingly to believe that business and maybe capitalism with it are harmful and create rather than solve problems for society. And what we do seem to hear are those loud voices. And they are very black and white. There are protagonists and the antagonists and the pros and the cons. And there's really no middle discussion. It's sort of like people for and against, and it's loud.
Right. For and against DEI, for instance, right? A battle at play.
Right.
The way you describe it and the way you describe the polarization, it makes it feel like very much of the digital age, right? It feels very much of today. Some of those arguments have been around, though, right? Is this criticism of business and this question, is business broken, is that a new question?
You are so right. It is not a new question. Schumpeter, he was a professor at Harvard, and he's also maybe one of the most influential political economists of the early 20th century. He called for the death of capitalism, the death of business, 100 years ago.
Okay. Wow.
And when he critiqued way back then, he said the very successes of capitalism would bring about its downfall because it would create values hostile to capitalism, and that this would particularly take hold among intellectuals who were critiquing. So there's a lot of that same kind of dynamic happening today, and that's 100 years old. But yeah, we've seen this kind of cultural fervor playbook many times in the past, often precipitated by big crises.
Find the full episode by searching for Is Business Broken wherever you listen to podcasts, and learn more about the Mehrotra Institute for Business, Markets, and Society at ibms.bu.edu.